Good morning. We're going to get started. Unfortunately, it looks like we're a little bit low on board members this morning, so we don't have a quorum. So we're going to be tabling of the action items. So we're just going to have a few informational items that we're going to go over this morning, and we'll get you out of here pretty soon. First, we're going to do roll call.
Melissa McKinley is excused. Tomas Boynton.
Present.
Clay Walker.
Here.
Whippet Hay. Myron Nagelberg.
I think to speed it up, are we able to just mark in who's here?
I can, but it's for the recording.
Oh.
I need their ed for public.
Can they just state their names and say they're here?
Sure.
Okay, could all board members just state their name and say they're here?
Clay Walker is here.
David Rubenis.
There you go.
And Dina Hill is here.
And then Bobby Valentine is excused.
Wonderful. Thank you, Marie. Again, because we don't have the quorum, we can't take a motion for the adoption of the agenda or the minutes. Are there any general public comments? Seeing none, again, we're going to table the action items for our next meeting until we have a quorum. The next, we'll move on to three informational items. We're going to have Annie giving us a staff update.
So this is a staff update. We just want to give you a brief overview of what the MPO is doing right now and ways that BLCB and our partners can kind of get involved. So first, we're going to give you a brief update on the Commuter Challenge, which happened during the month of March. It was a huge success. The Complete Streets Working Group, which is ongoing, and we definitely invite you to participate and come if you'd like. The same goes for the Bicycle Pedestrian Safety Study Advisory Committee, which is a kind of a new effort, so we're also inviting you to participate. The TIP, Transportation Improvement Plan, public comment period is open. There's also a photo contest we've endeavored on and the timeline for the next fiscal year. So first, the Commuter Challenge. So this was during the month of March, and we invited all kind of employers throughout the county to sign up. So whether you're an extra small to extra large business, we told you to get on board and log all of the miles completed with other than driving alone. So carpool, train, bus to work, which is a great point. So all the trips completed to and from work other than driving alone. So we had 48 teams, over 250 participants. This is really exciting. So over 68,000 miles completed in total, which is about 30,000 pounds of CO2 saved. So it was kind of a huge effort. Bus over 1,000 miles, train 28,000 miles. So we had a big push for public transit, walking and biking in the county that month. And the Palm Beach County School District also did a walk and roll challenge. So 8 schools participated and they completed over 1,000 miles. So these are kind of some photos from the event. This one is from the Transit Tuesday event, which kind of marked the halfway point in March for the challenge. So folks at the MPO and kind of abroad in different agencies in Transit Tuesday, so we were challenged to take transit to and from work all day, and it was fun, exciting. And we had a nice turnout at the event. And it was a great first year, say, and a great effort by Valerie Nielsen, our transit coordinator at the MPO. So we're looking forward to doing it again next year.
And that's our Palm Tran bus.
So this is our Palm Tran bus. It's wrapped in the Commuter Challenge design to kind of literally be a rolling advertisement for the event. So it was really exciting to see. We did the event downtown West Palm Beach at the Flagler, just kind of next to that green market that they have. So we were able to pull some people from there and kind of get everyone excited about transit.
Palm Tran's going to win next year.
Okay, that's on the record. So be mindful that we're going to expect full participation from all, 600 Palm Tran employees. So it's on the record. You have to do it.
Driving while on the job doesn't count.
Driving the bus does not count.
Bus driving on the
job does not count. So it was a great success, and we really thank all of our partners who were able to participate, including ComTrans. So next is our Complete Streets Working Group. So the next meeting is Tuesday, June 21st, from 10 to 12. So this is kind of a great initiative, and we've had a few meetings so far. The MPO board adopted the policy, so it's a Complete Streets policy that kind of encompasses what we're trying to do as an organization and what we want to do moving forward. That happened on March 17th, and you can find the full document on the MPO's website. Valerie Nielsen is our contact for that, so you can feel free to email her with any questions or comments, and we invite you to come to this meeting. Do you have anything you'd like to say for Complete Streets?
Sure. So the Complete Streets effort is really trying to promote thinking about all modes of transportation when we're planning new projects. So the MPO we adopted this policy, and to really look at transportation user considerations, starting with pedestrians, because really everyone is a pedestrian at some point of their trip. And then bicycles, transit, and then commercial vehicles and automobiles, versus the other way around, just looking at let's plan for cars and then we'll think about everybody else. So that's an initiative that we're trying to push forward, and it's really a national initiative. There's over 1,000 Complete Streets policies across the nation. Here in Palm Beach County, we realized there was only one. The city of West Palm Beach had a policy, so MPO is second on the list, and we're really encouraging all our other communities to adopt a policy as well and make this a priority. Also, with this working group that we're meeting monthly, we're looking at design guidelines that other communities around the country have adopted. So as examples, including Broward, our neighbors to the south, and we our plan is to develop our own local design guidelines, because that's what our municipalities have requested for Palm Beach County. So we invite you to come and hopefully help spread the word.
So our next initiative is the Bicycle Pedestrian Safety Study. So we've developed an advisory committee to that. So this committee has only met once so far, so they're still new to the game. Essentially, we're developing this plan to kind of see where we're at countywide regarding bicycle and pedestrian injuries, fatalities, developing countermeasures, future goals on how to fix those countermeasures and things like that. So the first step is kind of looking at the system as a whole. And matter of fact, they're going to do a state of the system presentation. We have a consultant working with us, Kimberly Horn and Associates, and they're kind of developing and gathering all of this data and information that we can disseminate later. But this meeting is great because it's kind of a guiding force behind this initiative and really trying to see what we want the plan to look like and what goals and objectives we'd like to see in the plan. So this is an example of what was produced for the last meeting. So it kind of shows an overview of pedestrian and bicycle fatalities over time, so between 2004 and 2013. So you kind of see this increase and decrease with pedestrian fatalities, while the bicycle fatalities remain pretty much the same. So it's trying to determine what causes that and how can we, you know, mitigate some of these concerns like this. So, like I said, the state of the system presentation will be coming probably in the late summer, and then we're going to work on, you know, the countermeasures, educational strategies, safety targets, and performance measures. So Francesca Taylor is the bike ped coordinator at the MPO, and she's the contact, so you can feel free to reach out to her with any questions, and we'd love to invite you to this meeting on June 22nd in the afternoon, 1:30 to 3 p.m. So the fiscal year 17 to 21 TIP has a comment period, which is now open. The board is going to adopt this. This is the Transportation Improvement Program, and it's kind of an initiative that the MPO undergoes. It's a five-year plan that looks at really regionally significant projects that are happening right now in the county and what's to come in the county over the next 5 years. So it's really kind of getting down to not only state facilities, but county and municipalities as well. So this is a great time for you to look at the document and see where you can provide your feedback. So this is a great document to kind of look over. It highlights all of the projects that are currently underway and the ones that are planned in the next 5 years. So we encourage you to look at the document online. And if you have any questions, feel free to let us know. The next is the MPO photo contest. So this is something that's new and exciting. We're looking for anybody and everyone to kind of take photos that really highlight the beauty of this county, but they need to be transportation related. So we're looking at non-motorized, we're looking at transit, automobiles, air, and waterway photos. So you can feel free to submit them online. And Valerie Nielsen is the contact person for that. Do you want to say anything about the photo contest?
So, like Annie mentioned, this is an effort to collect great transportation photos of Palm Beach County for our future transportation documents and to highlight to our MPO board. So the top photographers will be, the top photos of each transportation category will be selected by our MPO board, and those photographers will be recognized by the MPO board at a meeting in the fall. So there's plenty of time. It's until August 31st. You can submit your top five photos. They have to be have been taken by you. And they can't have identifiable people in the picture. So if there's people, have them look the other way. But we look forward to seeing some great pictures of Palm Beach County transportation.
Great idea.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, we're going to just look at the timeline for this coming fiscal year. So today is kind of the last quarter meeting of the fiscal year, so come our next meeting in September, we're kind of going to start the new one, which is the 2016-2017 fiscal year. So our timeline, we do have a new date set for the September meeting. It's now September 29th, and the second quarter meeting is moved to December 15th. Those are both Thursdays, and it's kind of to accommodate our chair, Melissa McKinley, and having her come to the meetings. So a doodle poll was sent out prior, and this was kind of the date that everyone agreed with. So just note that those are two date changes, September 29th and December 15th. So come December, we'll also be at the annual training workshop for CTD, which is in Jacksonville this year. So myself and Valerie are going to attend, and probably some folks from PalmTran as well. And then we'll come back to you at the meeting the next day with some things that we found, and we'll be sure to share any pertinent information with you. The third quarter meeting will be in March. It's the same date as scheduled, so it's March 8th. That's a Wednesday. And then fourth quarter we'll do regularly scheduled, which is June 14th of 2017. So just to highlight, since we were going to discuss the CTC evaluation and the TDSP update today, the TDSP update begins at the December meeting and kind of goes forward until the March meeting. So it's kind of a long process. We'd like to start it early and get it done by March, because it is one of the roles of the LCD to annually update the TDSP. And the same goes for the CTC evaluation. So we'll start that in March and then continue it forward to June. So again, we have a few months to kind of go through the process, and the LCB can complete the workbook and seek all the feedback they need from PalmTran. Does anyone have any questions about the timeline? Or? Okay. Well, that's all. If anyone has any questions, I'm happy to take them now. Otherwise, you can email me with anything, and that's all.
Thank you, Annie, for all the information and presentation. Next, we'll be introducing Heather Picard. She'll be the new interim director for PalmTran Connection. Heather?
Sure. First, I want to thank everybody. It's been such a warm welcome here at PalmTran. I can't be more excited. It's been a great couple of days. A little bit about myself. I've been in the industry, transportation industry, for about 11 or 12 years. Started off in IT, then went into operations. I ran a call center for the TransLink up in Vancouver, British Columbia, for 7 or 8 years up there. Recently went back to technology, but I'm very excited to be back in operations and joining Clinton's team. So yeah, it's been great. I'm excited to be here, and I'm hoping we can accomplish quite a bit.
Wonderful. Thank you, Heather. Next, we have a CTC update. Clinton, would you be able to update us on what's going on with the CTC?
Mr. Vice Chair and members. Just want to update you. One thing we have to do that I think we missed was send out our changes and update on the things that have been happening with PalmTran Connection, our actions, etc., to your board. And so we will communicate that to Hale and Valerie so that we can get that out to your board, because I don't think you've been in the loop. But I know that some of the board members also serve on some of the Palm Tran connection, so some of them have gotten the information. I would like to just briefly talk about that and also talk about the performance reports, which are absent from this meeting. To start, as you know, the Office of Inspector General released its report on Palm Tran Connection on March 31st. Don't have to go back through the allegations, but essentially alleging that the records were being changed, on-time performance records were being changed to artificially inflate our performance, our on-time performance. And one of the things that I wanted to do is make sure that, you know, that their allegations were accurate from a transit perspective, considering that the OIG are not transit professionals. I wanted to do that, coupled with the fact that I was not here, and of course, the complexities of paratransit. And so I conscripted a consultant, David Rischel, of Delta Services Group, to come and take a look at the OIG report and do some investigation, interviewing the staff, not to reinvestigate the OIG's report, but just to look at what their findings were, and from a business review standpoint, were these records being altered inappropriately. And long story short, 20-page report was delivered. Very happy with the services that he provided. What was found was pretty clear, and I think the paper really captured this pretty well. The records were being changed, but from the information that we received, they were not being changed nefariously. There was no malfeasance here, and so I was pleased to learn that from the investigation. What I wasn't so pleased with is that there were several management concerns and management issues associated with what led the OIG kind of down this road. As a result of that, we have made some organizational changes. Ron Jones, who was the director of Palm Tran Connection, is still with our organization in a leadership role as the operations manager. We've reorganized Palm Tran Connection essentially in three silos, reporting to the director of Palm Tran Connection, which also will now report to a chief operating officer that we have not begun the recruitment for. In the interim, as you've been introduced, Heather will be our interim director of Palm Tran Connection. The three silos include scheduling and dispatch, which will be led by Ron Jones, operations and reservations, which will be led by Lou Ferry. Essentially, that's what he's been doing, so there's really no change there. And Charlie Boedeker now will lead the service coordinators and eligibility. Is that correct, Charlie? Yes, sir. You guys all know Charlie. And so Charlie is going to step up to the plate and help us with that area. I've asked Heather to take a very close look at how we've organized, because I'm open to suggestions from our expert here on the organizational structure that we've sort of put together. So that's where we are. We expect Heather, if she doesn't want to stay longer, to be here for a couple months. She's also going to help me recruit the next Palm Tran Connection mm-hmm. director. But her tasks are really straightforward, and that is to lead the day-to-day, but also begin to work on the recommendations in the OIG report as well as the consultant's report. And, you know, get those things started, get some of them finished if possible before her departure. The performance reports, as a part of this reorganization, we created the Office of Performance Management, which will report directly to me. And as a result of sort of, and there have been a lot of questions, maybe not at this body, but at other PalmTran Connection subcommittees about, you know, our metrics and, you know, are we measuring the right things? Do we have the right information shown to the board members? And I'm pretty familiar with performance reporting. Done it for quite a long time, and I think that's an opportunity for improvement. And so what we've done is we've engaged the Center for Urban Transportation Research, Cutter at the University of South Florida, to help us develop this Office of Performance Management and establish peers that we would benchmark ourselves with with almost every metric, and establish some baseline metrics that we will track and report to the board and the public on a monthly basis. And so they've already begun that work. We hope to have that work completed within the next month or two. One of the things that's an important component of this is education. And so as a part of their scope is to come to everybody and sort of explain these different metrics and why we're measuring this, what they mean, what the standards are in the industry. Education is extremely important. And so, you know, we've already begun that work. I'm very excited about it. There will be a performance management manager that we'll be recruiting for. That's a sort of a techie, you know, statistician type person. And we've gotten some hits already, I understand, for that position. So we'll be bringing in someone from the outside to help lead that area. So the reports are not on this agenda, but we still have developed the reports. I have a confidence issue with the reports, and if, you know, I don't feel that they're scrubbed the way they should be and that they're measuring the right things, I'm not going to report them. If you like the information, they're still public information, and we have to provide them, but they will be caveated with a memo from me stating that we're you know, going through a process to develop new standards and performance metrics. But the reports are available should you want them. So essentially, that's where we are with the PalmTran connection. This is a pretty good operation at PalmTran Connection. You know, probably one of the best I've seen, actually. This is not an easy business. But we want to make it better for our customers. We want to be the best in almost everything we do at PalmTran. So I'm glad that Heather's here to really start that work. And at the end of the day, we're going to, you know, continue to provide excellent service to our customers. Just for your information, we did have a small little glitch with technology today, which at 5:30 a.m., was it Trapeze that went down?
The server hardware,
and there were some delays. So you may get some calls here or there, but I think we resolved those issues. It was a couple-hour issue that's been resolved. Service should normalize by 10 a.m. So we just wanted to give you that information. So I think that's really all that I have. I will roll out the entire organizational structure of PalmTran within the coming weeks. But these three immediate things, which are, one, the reorganization of PalmTran Connection really has been completed. The creation of the Office of Performance Management created, that's pretty much done. And the creation of a Chief Operating Officer for PalmTran. One of the things that I'm very familiar with in the industry with how transit organizations are organized is you typically have everything that moves under one organization, one functional area. And then all of the support areas, such as marketing and finance, you know, led by those experts supporting that core business of operations. So that's how we've organized PalmTran. PalmTran Connection was essentially outside of the operations area, and it really is an operating department. And so what we've done is we've organized everything that moves under one organization. So you have a chief operating officer, and all of those things that move, including fixed route operations, PalmTran Connection, maintenance, all the supervisors, the bus operators, all of them are under one organization, and that's what you typically will find in the industry. And so that's the major change with the reorganization. So with that, that concludes my update.
Well, there's been a lot that's been dropped on your lap since you've been here, and I think over this last year we've had PalmTran Connection under a pretty big microscope. But with change also leads for a lot of opportunities, and we have a wonderful providers, transportation providers here, and I do agree with you in terms of reworking to have PalmTran Connection now under PalmTran. That was always one of my biggest complaints on the PalmTran Service Board, is that we spend 50% of our funds on PalmTran Connection, and it would always seem to be the outside person that we never discussed or didn't do anything with. So it's wonderful that it's all being put, and I like how you're working with the administration to make it run smoothly.
Thank you.
Are there any members? Next, we're going to go into administrative items. Are there any member comments? David?
I'm not sure if I should bring this up now, but the thing I've talked to you about before the meeting.
If you'd like to, you can make it. This is on, David's going to make a comment on an action item that we didn't address, but at least so staff can hear it, I think it would be wonderful.
So, when I was reviewing the both or the 2015-2016 Transportation Disadvantaged Service Plan, I really like all the maps and graphics and all that kind of stuff, but I wanted to see a closer relationship of the maps to some of the client information. And so I know we had maps that dealt with seniors and poverty, and it was by zip code or by census tract. But one of the things through the definition section was what a disadvantaged person is or a handicapped person. And so in the U.S. Census, there is a classification that talks about disabilities, about handicaps, and whether a person's blind, what type of services, what type of handicap there is. So I was thinking that part of the appendix of this document in the future would actually portray that information on the map. Because that seems like there's more of a direct correlation to the Transportation Disadvantage Plan, to the definition section, and then what you have written on page 213 that deals with the references to the maps, and because it talks about the group block analysis and why we're talking about people in poverty and that kind of thing. So I was just wondering, it doesn't have to be for this one, all right, but because that information is out there already, and I have that information, if you don't know where it's at, I'll show it to you, but it will say how many people by census or by zip code have those physical, mental, some of them are mental disabilities, which I think would be very important, and maybe we can get some additional monies because of that, because we would be the only county or something like that having that information in the report.
Thank you, Dave. Are there any other questions or comments by board members? Okay. I do want to say thank you again, Heather, for joining the team. We look forward to having you here while you're here, and we're excited to keep moving forward. Our next meeting will be Thursday, September 29th. I do know that with schools being out and there were some award ceremonies this morning for some of the schools, I think that's why we might have lost some of our board members. But hopefully we'll have a full quorum, enough for a quorum next time. And I don't even think I can go for a motion to adjourn, so enjoy the rest of the day.